You know what? I got one of these, but I didn't get a yellow thing, an ivory thing. I'll have to blame the usher for that. Because I'm not going to take it yet. All right. Thank you, Chris. No, the one of the usher, Jody even gave me one of these, and this is all that ended up here, so I don't know what happened. All righty, here we go. This is sort of, and if you wouldn't mind saving this, because I only made X number of them, and they're on the fancy paper and all that, so if you wouldn't mind, save this all throughout the month and look upon it. These are all our missionaries we support on the first inside page. These are all the missionaries we support. We support these missionaries at about $210 a month. Well, all of them at $210 a month, and there are some that we supported. In fact, Brother John's story, we support him at $300. And two colleges we support at $300. And Lord's allowed us to do that. And a guy has to be very careful because he does not want to get, you know, there's a lot of prosperity preaching on the radio and the TV and that, saying, hey, if you'll sow a seed, then God will do this and that and everything. God doesn't have to do a thing, okay? He is sovereign. He answers to nobody. But based upon experience, I will say this, is if we'll honor God, he honors us. And it may not come back as financial thing. It may not come back as, but God will bless his people. And I just, it's exciting when we submit, we yield unto the Lord, and then we just can't wait to see what God's got in store for us. It is really a miracle. And so that's why we're praying this month for Faith Promise and what God will have us to do as individuals in this church collectively for missions. And then on the second page here, or third page, be the third page, but the second on the inside, there are 7.2 billion people in the world, and there are 320 million. These are rough figures. And every 12 seconds, a person dies and enters into eternity. And with that said, I'd like us to just direct our attention to where we work, or even the people we know, the people that we are around. And let's just say we work like at St. Pete's. There's 500 people working at St. Pete's. And what would be the percentage of your work, in your family, your street? How many people give a percentage of the the Lord as Savior? Is it 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%? It's not very high. Okay? So every 12 seconds, a person dies into and enters eternity. So out of every minute, that'd be 5 people. We have to go 2 minutes. That'd be 10 people. Maybe one out of those 10, if that, would enter into heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. 9 out of 10 to go to a place called hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And that's what missions is about. Does that make a difference here? It should. Faith Promise Missions is a program Liberty Baptist implements to support missionaries. We're on the third page here and the second on the inside under Faith Promise Missions. Missions is sending, supporting men and their families out of Baptist churches of like faith with the purpose of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They plant and establish a church with a pastor and move on to the next church plant. This is about planting churches of like faith and order. Faith Promise is not a tithe nor part of the tithe. It is not a part of the general fund. Promise monies go to missions. Every single dime goes to missionaries. We're not raising this money to build a new wing on the gymnasium or anything like that. This all goes to missionaries. Results of missions giving. Our faith grows, missionaries are supported, churches are planted, and most importantly, souls saved. Please pray and ask the Lord to give you and this church a burden for souls here and around the world. Jesus says, I am the way, the life, and the truth, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, I'm glad everyone's here this morning. We're looking forward to our preacher, Brother Johnson, and he's from South Africa. Well, he's from Canada. His wife's from Colorado. But they're currently from South Africa, faithfully doing what they were called to do. That's share the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ with the people in South Africa. Brother Jeremy?
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. It is a blessing to be here this morning. If you'll take your Bibles with me this morning and turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. And appreciate the opportunity to share in Sunday school hour about what God has called us to do in South Africa. If you miss that, you missed the cheapest trip to South Africa you've ever had in your life. And but I'm going to give you a second chance. I'll email a link to the video to Pastor. And if you want to watch that somewhere, he can share that link with you and you can watch and see what God is doing in South Africa and has enabled us to be a part of. And I'm glad to be with you here today. And I hope that we can encourage you and challenge you this morning from the Word of God about your Christian life, but also about missions. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 33 this morning. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'll be honest, having been a missionary in South Africa now for 9 years, as I've come back to North America, I struggled a little bit what I was going to preach a lot as I traveled. And I do have several messages, more than just one. But God has continued to direct my attention, especially to this passage, because I believe it is a great need in our churches today to understand the importance of this verse. And more importantly than just this verse, to understand the extreme importance of one word in this verse that is often so simple that we often overlook it. Living in South Africa, it has caused me to study my Bible much more than ever before about the meaning of words when I preach to people. Over there, English is not the first language for many people, and so in order to accurately present to them what the Word of God is saying, it's caused me to use a dictionary much more. There's many words that we use every day in our English language, and we use them not even thinking about them or their meaning. In this verse, the word I want to look at this morning is that word first. We talk about the word first all the time. People talk about going someplace first or doing something first. We talk about when it comes to sporting events, you know, today for some people, the Super Bowl is on their mind and they're wondering who's going to come in first place. Nobody really cares about who's going to be second. They just want to know who's going to be first. If you go to the doctor's office and you're waiting there in the office and you're looking around at people, you're hoping you're going to be waited on first in line, not last. If you're like me and every once in a while, every couple of years, you get a fly somewhere, you go and you get on that airplane, you longingly look at first class, and then you walk to the back of the plane. But that word first is a word we constantly use. But I wonder if we have not forgotten what its true meaning is. Ask yourself this morning, what does the word first really mean? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, what does that mean? The word first actually has a very simple definition. The word first simply means this: before anything else. That's it. That's all the word first means. But that is a tremendous meaning when we examine that word first and how God uses it in His Word. Before anything else. With that definition in mind, let's reread Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 33. The Bible says, but seek ye first, before anything else, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This morning, I want to challenge you with just a very simple thought. Is God first before anything else in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we open your word, God, I am thankful for each and every one that's gathered together and is here this morning. Pray for those that could not be here. God, that you might encourage and strengthen them, even their bodies, as many are suffering with sickness and flu. But God, this morning, as we have gathered to hear from you, we pray that you would open your word to our eyes and understanding, and that God, you would speak to us and challenge us with this truth this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I don't think you would argue with me this morning, being here in church, that the Bible is clear that God is first. Turn with me here and go back to Isaiah chapter number 44 for just a moment. Isaiah chapter number 44. We understand that God has always existed. If we were to take our Bibles and go back all the way to the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, we would see that God opens His Word by saying, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God did not argue for His existence. God did not try to prove his being. God did not try to debate with the evolutionist or debate with the atheist. God simply opened the Word of God by saying, guess what? Hello, I'm here. And I've always been, and I've created all things. God said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Isaiah chapter number 44 here, in verse number 6, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. God said, I am the first. And by the way, God didn't say I was, or God didn't say I will be. God said, I am the first. God said, I am before anything else. I have always been, are present, and always will be before anything else. No doubt about that in the Bible, that God is and has always been first. But with God being first, that then means that everything that was made was created by God. Genesis is clear that God created the heavens and the earth. And you and I were not a product of evolution. You and I were not some accident. We are created specifically by God with a plan and purpose for our life. The meaning of life cannot be found in ourselves or in the world around us. The true meaning of life can only be found in our relationship with God, who is to be first before anything else. One of the things that has amazed me so much at being back in North America is the unhappiness of people. I mean, it seems everywhere you go, people are unhappy. I have seen more joy on the face of a little African boy living inside of a tin shack, playing with his soccer ball made out of plastic grocery bags, than I have on the faces of people that are driving nice cars and living in nice houses. The world today is unhappy. If you don't believe me, go look around. Take notice at work. Take notice at school. Take notice when you go shopping, and everywhere you go, you see the unhappiness of people. We arrived back into North America on September 19th. We actually flew into Canada. September 20th, I made my first mistake of being back in North America. I went to Walmart. Now, when you've lived overseas for 9 years and you walk into Walmart, it is overwhelming. You want a map. You need a tour guide. You don't know where anything is. You don't know where to find it. When you get to the right product section, you don't identify the labels on the shelf. You can't figure out what things mean. It is just shocking. And my wife and I and our kids, we walked around the store like zombies looking for something. Finally found a couple of things we needed, and we're so overwhelmed, we said, we got to get out of here. And I took that items that we were going to buy, and I brought it over to the cashier, and I set it on the belt. But I forgot I was back in North America. You see, in Africa, you don't do anything quickly. There's no just buying something and running out the store. Over there, you have to go through a whole process of greeting with everybody you talk to. You go up to them and you say, Sanbonani, which is just kind of like getting their attention and saying hi. They'll say, Yebo, which means yes. They acknowledge you. Then you're going to say, Unjani, how are you? And they look at you and say, Giapila, I'm fine, I'm well. then you can begin to have whatever other conversation you would have. Well, I put those items on the belt, and as the items went down to the cashier, I looked up at the cashier and I said, "Hi, how are you?" And she looked at me like some of you are looking at me right now. Where did he come from? What planet did he fall off of? But I was struck so much by the unhappiness on her face. And everywhere I have traveled since being back, I have seen the same unhappiness on the faces of people. But what scares me is not seeing the unhappiness out there. What scares me is every church I've gone into, I think I've seen the same unhappiness on people in God's house. And out of everyone in the world today, as children of God, we ought to have a smile and we ought to have some joy and a purpose for living life. But I believe that we have forgotten a very important truth here in our relationship with God that has caused our joy and our happiness and our peace and our contentment to leave. We have forgotten that we were not created to follow our own plans and dreams and desires and live life according to our own comforts. But we were created by God to have a relationship with God and to love and serve Him. You weren't created to just exist. You weren't created to just come to church on Sunday and sit in a pew and listen for a little while and get up and go home. You were created to have a daily walk with God and to live your life being involved in serving God. God is first. There is no doubt about that according to the Word of God. And He is and always will be first. But God went beyond that. God then gave to you and I what we often refer to as the first commandment. Turn over with me to Mark chapter number 12. We could go back to the book of Exodus. We could look at how God met with Moses up on Mount Sinai. And as God met with Moses there, God told Moses, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." God was reminding Moses, even back there, that the greatest duty and responsibility of man was to choose to put God first in our life. In Mark chapter number 12, we have a conversation that Jesus is having with the scribes. And they finally come to Him and ask Him this predominant question: what is the first commandment? What is the greatest of the commandments? And Jesus begins to answer these scribes in Mark chapter 12 and verse number 29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Before anything else, God is saying that our greatest duty and responsibility in this life is to choose in love to put our God first before anything else. What does it mean that God is first? Does it mean that I do what I want and then try to fit God in? That's how most people are living their life today. Most people today are consumed with their own plans and their own desires and all of the comforts and all of the blessings that God has given them, and they just try to fit God in where it suits them. God becomes another line in our schedule, or God becomes another item in our budget, and when life gets busy or our finances get tight, God just gets shoved around or squeezed out. Well, I got too much to do this week. I mean, the car is broken, and there's some things at the house that need to be fixed, and I need to go visit my family, and oh boy, now we got more snow I got to deal with. I'm sorry, God. I'm just not going to be able to be in church on Sunday night or Wednesday. And God gets pushed out. Our finances get tight. Maybe it's health needs. Maybe it's the car breaking down. Maybe it's the needs of family members. And we say, oh God, this month, I'm sorry. I'm just not going to be able to honor you with the tithe. Or I'm not going to be able to help you with missions. I'm not going to be able to give extra. I just don't have it. And God is no longer first in our life. Is God going to force himself to be first in your life? No. We live in an age of grace. We live in a time when God is extending to man mercy and giving man the opportunity to choose to show in love that God is first in his life. But God's not going to force himself. There's coming a day when he will. Amen. There is coming a day when he is going to return and set up his kingdom, and he is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And the Bible is clear that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But right now, God is giving us the opportunity to show that we love him and that he is first in our life. I'm convinced today that if this world is going to know our God and who he truly is, then they need to see us putting God first. Pastor has in the bulletin there this morning 7.2 billion people alive on the face of the earth. I'm not surprised today that we have a hard time witnessing to false religions and cults. I'm not surprised today that we think that certain people don't want to hear about Jesus Christ and certain people won't get saved because they're so caught up in what they believe. And the Catholics are caught up in what they believe, and the Jehovah's Witnesses are caught up in what they believe, and the Mormons and the Muslims, and we could go on. But I believe today that the main problem is that we're not, as God's children, putting him first. When we try to go witness to them and we try to tell them about a God who is first according to the Word of God, and we tell them what he means to us, and then they look at our life and how we're living, they say, well, if you really believe that, then why does it not change how you live? I don't agree with the Muslims, but I'll tell you one thing, they believe what they believe. And it doesn't surprise me that we have a hard time telling them about Jesus Christ because they are devoted to their false gods and even to their damnation of an eternity in hell, but they believe it with all of their heart. A Muslim is willing to blow himself up for what he believes in. And we and God's children who claim to have the truth live comfortable lives, not even putting our God first. We think that that liberty that God has given us is the liberty we can enjoy to live according to our flesh and according to the comforts of this world. Rather than taking that liberty that God has given us and using it to put him first and to serve him with all of our heart and soul and mind. If so many of this world's false religions are not ashamed to put their false gods first, why can't we as Christians who have the truth put him first in our life? But today, we've grown complacent. We've grown comfortable. We've gotten accustomed and used to just going through the motions of living life without really thinking about is God first before anything else in my life. Please understand, as I'm preaching this morning, I don't claim to have it all figured out and done. I don't claim that in every area of my life God is first, but I'm telling you I want him first. And I believe we need to be reminded with our duty and our responsibility so that we would wake up each day and we would be concerned about putting God first in our life before anything else. So how do we put God first? Go back with me to Matthew chapter number 6. I believe there's a couple things here that God gives us. You say, Pastor, what does that have to do with missions? Well, I'm going to tie it together here in just a second. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 33. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Seek ye. That means you. That means you have to make an effort to put God first. Do you know in the Bible the word ye comes before we? In the dictionary, it's the other way around. This is important. Because many times we sit in church and we look around at everybody else and we examine ourselves by what everybody else is doing, and we take the teaching of the Word of God and we try to redirect it and focus it on everybody else rather than taking the truth of the Word of God and applying it to our own heart and our own mind, our own life. Ye, seek ye. God didn't say seek we. God said, seek ye, seek you. God is saying that we must make individual choices to put God first. Not worried about what everybody else in the church is doing or whether everybody else in the church takes and applies what the Word of God is saying, but making our own individual choice that as for me in my house, in my life, I'm going to serve the Lord. Young people need to make an individual choice. Parents, husbands, wives, whatever our situation and circumstances, but we've got to choose as individuals to put God first. I think we've forgotten that one day we stand before God as individuals. Now, praise God, we're not going to stand before Him and we're not going to be judged according for our sin. That was taken care of on the cross and your choice to believe on Jesus Christ. But I do believe that there is a judgment for reward according to the Scriptures. And the Bible says that that reward is an individual accounting time. You're not going to be gathered together as a church in front of God. You're not going to stand there as a family. You're not going to stand there as a husband and wife and children. Every man, every woman, every youth, every child will stand before God as an individual. I believe that judgment is open. I believe it will be clear, visible, and plain for everybody to see, according to the Word of God. Now, if you don't think so, wait till we get there and we'll get it figured out. But God says it's going to be manifest. He says in that day He is going to make every man's work manifest. I believe you'll watch me as a missionary stand before God and be examined. I believe you'll watch your pastor stand before God and be examined. I believe that wives will watch husbands and husbands will watch wives and parents will watch children and children will watch parents. I believe we will watch one another, one by one, stand before God to be examined for reward. Not for the judgment of sin, but for reward. And the Bible is clear on that day that there will be reward or there will be loss of reward as God will take away what He wanted to give to us and give it to someone else for all of eternity. Because what's going to be examined on that day is not what we did for the praise of men or to please others around us. What is going to be examined that day is what we did to put God first in our life before anything else. The word seek means to make an effort to find or receive something. Have you ever lost some money and went looking for it? Remember the last time you lost your cell phone and you couldn't find it? How you tore the house apart and you tore the car apart, you grabbed somebody else's phone and tried to call it and make it buzz or ring, or if you're the younger generation, you probably logged onto the internet and tracked it or located and made it do something. But you didn't give up until you found it. Would to God that we had that much of a desire to put God first and seek after Him in our life. What a difference there would be in our own lives, but what a difference there would be even together as a church if all of us were determined to put God before anything else. What does God want you to do? Today, I'm afraid we're just busy with our own plans and our own desires that we often do not even truly ask God what God wants us to do. Pastor was talking about faith promise. I'm glad what he said there about even now beginning to go home and pray and ask God what He wants you to give. Because I believe even in missions conference time and with faith promise cards, many people just follow man's suggestions instead of getting God's direction. I'll tell you what I mean. A lot of faith promise cards have little boxes on the bottom with number amounts, dollar amounts that you just go home and check off and bring back and put in. And here's what I believe the average Christian does today with that. They go home, they examine their finances, they might talk to their spouse, they look at how much they have every month after they buy and pay off the bills and then buy some of the things they want and save for some of the things that are coming up, and then they look at what they've got left and they say, I think I'll tick off that one. You know, they got like $15, $25, $50, $75 a month or a week for missions. But seldom do people even pray about it. I figured a way to fix it, Pastor, before you make your faith promise cards. I think we ought to change those boxes around a little bit and put $500, $1,000, $1,500 a month towards missions. And then put a little box over here that says other. Because I think people will go home and pray rather than just accepting one of those boxes that's there. Because isn't that how we are? Be honest with yourself this morning. Isn't it so easy to just live life going through the motions, but never really determined to put God first before anything else? Isn't it so easy to just logistically figure out the finances and take a suggestion that's there, rather than really getting down on our knees and taking the next month and honestly asking God what He would want us to do? Because we're used to living life without putting God first. God should be first in so many different areas of our life. God should be first in our time. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Do you read your Bible and pray every day? Used to be that that was the normal. People didn't even think anything different. But I believe today we've gotten to a point, because of most people that I've talked to and asked, most people, most Christians, most children of God do not even read their Bible and pray every day. Listen, if we don't spend time with God every day, then how do we claim that we're putting Him first? If we won't even read our Bible and get down on our knees, how are we ever going to be a witness to that friend or that neighbor or that coworker? How are we ever going to tell them how important our God is unless we live it in our own life every day? Seeking God should be first in our plans. Yeah, plans. Do you know that if you don't plan on doing something, you don't do it? It's true. We don't live our lives like that. We live our lives planning. Most of you have already planned what you're going to do after church today in just a few minutes. Most of you have already planned what you're going to do for lunch, what you're going to do this afternoon. You've probably even planned what you're going to do tonight, whether you'll be in church or whether you're going to do something else. But you've already got it planned out. But do we plan on how to serve God? I meet a lot of Christians busy planning vacation, busy planning for retirement. What about planning to serve God? A couple weeks back, I went over to South Africa on a short trip with my wife for some things we needed to do with our Bible Institute. As I got on that flight in Atlanta, there were 6 young Mormon missionaries that got on that plane. Fresh out of school. I didn't even think they could shave yet. They didn't even really know what they believed. But they were going to take the next 2 years of their life and dedicate it to spreading their false religion to damn people to an eternity in hell. But when I go to most churches today and talk to most of our Christian young people, they're busy talking about their education, the career they're going to choose, the car they're going to buy, the house they're going to buy, how they're going to get married, settle down, and enjoy a comfortable life. What happened to planning on serving God? I've been told by many people that there are more missionaries coming from the mission field today than are going to even replace them. Because I believe we have forgotten as God's people that our God should be first in our life. Before anything else. God should be first in our love. And by the way, if you don't love God, it's because you don't know Him. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. And if you'll begin to love and obey God, you'll understand what it means to be in love with Him and to know Him. Putting God first means God should be first in our finances. I'm not saying that this morning to be mean, but shouldn't God be first? In the Old Testament, God referred to the tithe as the first fruits. It was how we as God's children recognized that our God, who is before anyone and anything else, had blessed us. And we took of what God had blessed us and we brought it back to Him first to acknowledge to Him who He was and that we were choosing to put Him first in our life for everyone to see. But today, when most people get paid, they pay the mortgage first, the car payment first, they buy the groceries, then they go buy a bunch of other things that they want, and then when all of that is done, they say, now what do I have left that I can give to God? That's not putting our God first. You know, I'm embarrassed today that the Muslims are busy building their mosques. The Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons are busy sending their false missionaries all over the world. And we're sitting back enjoying all the blessings that God has given us, but not putting Him first in our life. I'm told that many missionaries, it takes them 3 and 4 years now in deputation to raise support. Why? Because as God's people, we no longer are putting Him first. We're consumed with our life, our comforts, and our plans. And we have forgotten about our God and what He ought to mean to us. In context, in this passage, seeking God and putting Him first means that eternal things should come before physical things. Look with me quickly at verse number 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And then Jesus stops. He's saying it's not surprising that the world around us is consumed with life and the affairs of this life. It's not surprising that that is all they live for. They have nothing else. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's all they have and that's all they're living for. But in the middle of verse 32, he stops and switches his attention to you and I as children of God. And he says what? For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's a wonderful promise here where God promises to provide for you and I as His children when we put Him first in our life. But God nowhere promises to provide for disobedient children. God promises chastening to those. When we complain that God isn't providing for our needs, we're often telling ourselves on ourselves and what is really first in our life. If you're like me, at some point in time in your life, you've probably gone to the store and you've probably bought something that needed to be assembled and put together. And you buy it and you bring it home and you open up the box and you unpack it. If you're stubborn like me, you probably take those directions and throw them away. Who needs those things? I might look nice in a suit and tie. I drove cattle truck for 4 years. I know what you're thinking and I do the same thing. And we put it together with our own mind. We put it together with our own thoughts. And we say, I can do this. And it never works the way it's supposed to. But I found when I humble myself and I go back and I take out the instructions and I do first things first, it amazes me how it fits together and works just like it was supposed to. I really believe that much of our unhappiness and our discouragement with living the Christian life comes from trying to live it our way instead of putting God first and doing it His way. I don't know what problems you have in your marriage. I don't know what problems you have with your children. I don't know what problems you have with your finances. I don't know what problems you have with your brother or your sister in Christ. But I am convinced that if we would get serious as God's children about putting God before anything else in our life, as individuals and together, there would be a great change in our joy, our happiness, and in our testimony and our seriousness about reaching this world with the gospel before it's too late. Just a very simple question this morning. Is God first before anything else in your life? If not, then what is? Because you know, if God's not first, at the very least, He's second. And the word second means that which follows the first. God will not follow. God is, and God always will be, first. And it's our duty to follow Him and put Him first in our life. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, we love You. God, I'm thankful for each and every one that's come out to church on a cold winter morning. Father, they made the effort to come here and be in Your house and hear Your word. Lord, I believe they have a desire to know You. But, oh God, I pray that You would search deep in our heart as we ask the question this morning of whether or not You're first. It's so easy to forget that we're strangers and pilgrims in this life in search of a heavenly city. And God, many times we get comfortable, complacent, and have been lulled to sleep by this world around us into forgetting what it really means to live each day, doing our best to put You first in our life, that this world could see the true God of heaven, that this world could understand the true meaning of salvation, and this world could see the true meaning of life. Help us, God, this morning. If there's something that is not first in our life, God, might we humble ourselves and remove it. Might we choose to get back to putting You first in every area before anything else. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
If God's not first in our lives, let's put Him first, or at least ask Him to give us the strength and the courage and whatever it takes to put Him first in our lives this morning. Page 17.
Thank you.
God's not number one in our lives this morning, if he's not preeminent, we have to ask ourselves not only the question, what is, and then ask the other question, why is not God preeminent in our lives? Is there one reason in the whole wide world that God wouldn't be first in our lives? He's the one that died for us on the cross. He's the one that gives us eternal life. He's the one that provides every single thing for us this morning. There should not be one reason that we can come up with that God's not going to be one in our lives. That's a great message. Thank you. We have Dale. And I forget your last name.
Wilcox.
Dale's been coming here for, well, she's Sam and Gary's sisters. Dale's been coming here for quite a while. Dale has been baptized in a Baptist church up in Cutbank, like Faith in Order. And Dale would like to unite with Liberty Baptist Church. Yeah. Dale, are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? That's good. We're going to take a vote as a church. All those with uplifted hands and say, hey, we would love, not just like, but love to have Dale into our this body, Liberty Baptist Church. Would you raise your right hand? Oh, praise God. How many would oppose? We got one. The eyes have it. Welcome, Dale. Liberty Baptist Church. Is there anything you'd like to say?
Thank you for accepting me. Mm-hmm. I feel that it's truly a good home.
Good. We love it. How many are praying for Dale?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Good. All right. Close in prayer, Brother Scott Lindgren. Would you close us in prayer? And then, if you wouldn't mind, come up and shake Dale's hand, or give her a hug, or whatever, put her a punch on the shoulder, whatever it is. Welcome her to Liberty Baptist.